But I just want to take a few moments and share with you a passage of Scripture. Today, churches all around the world are celebrating what? Palm Sunday, right? Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And this morning, I'm going to transition up here where so that I can use a stand here. This morning, we're considering that story of Palm Sunday. Oh, do I get the plexiglass, the bulletproof pulpit? Maybe I'll need that this morning.
There you are, sir.
Yeah. Pastor's got to stay skinny, though, if he's going to be protected. I got to be careful. The older I get, the less protection this offers me. Looking at the triumphal entry, and it's found in different Gospels, but this morning I want to look at the story in John chapter 12. And as you're turning there, I want to give you a quote from a movie, and you try to guess what movie it is. You keep using that word, but it does not mean what I think or what you think it means. Is that correct? Something close to that? What's that from? Princess Bride. You keep using that word, but I'm not so sure it means what you think it means. There's a word here in the story of the triumphal entry, the story of Palm Sunday, that we use all the time as Christians. We see it in songs. Maybe even some people in church this morning are shouting that out. It's the word Hosanna. Hosanna. We use that all the time. But this morning, I want us to say, wait a minute. We're using this word. We celebrate Hosanna. But what in the world does it mean? So we're going to look at that this morning. And hopefully you've turned to John chapter 12 this morning. And again, we're going to be looking at the first 19 verses. So if you're there, let me pray and then we'll dive in to this explanation or a better understanding of the word or what we celebrate, this cry of the crowd, Hosanna. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate together as one body this morning. The communion, the community, the union, the fellowship we have because of Christ, our Savior, the one given to us so that we could be made right with the Holy God, the Creator. Lord, we thank you that he did what we could never do. He lived obedient to the law. And then he took the very wrath of God upon himself, not only provided righteousness in living up to God's standard, but also took care of our sin debt. And today, as every Sunday, we celebrate his great sacrifice, his submission to the Father, his obedience, even to death, the death on a cross. But Lord, every Sunday we don't mourn, we celebrate with tears of joy because of the resurrection. Lord, we look forward to next Sunday and as the world celebrates the very power of the resurrection, life, eternal life, in the person of Jesus Christ, given to all who look to him for salvation. Lord, I pray that as we consider this story about Jesus, that we wouldn't just learn a story, but we would come to an understanding of who Jesus is, and not only who he is in an intellectual sense, but in a very personal sense, so that we can know him and what he means or could mean to us as individuals. Lord, we thank you for this word, the revelation of Jesus Christ found in the book of John and in the Holy Scriptures. In the very name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let me read for you this passage of Scripture. Would you give your attention to the word of the Lord? 6 days before Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment and made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief. And having, he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. But on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying out, here it is, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." So what do we learn from this story this morning? Well, the one thing that I want you to take away from this is simply that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's the entirety of John's gospel. The message of John, one of the things that he wants to help people understand that reads his account of Jesus is simply this, that Jesus Christ saves. Hosanna. Hosanna simply means, please save us now. Simply it. It's this cry of desperation, calling out on someone or something to rescue you. Save us, help! That's what you're crying out when you say, Hosanna. The crowd was calling out on the name of Jesus. In fact, Jesus, the name of Jesus itself, means what? Salvation. They were crying out to Jesus to save them. Have you done that? Is that why you're here this morning? Is the cry of your heart for Jesus to save you, to rescue you? If it is, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right person. Jesus saves. That's the testimony of John this morning. That is, in fact, the testimony of this communion we celebrate. That Jesus saves. John, in John chapter 1, verse 29, this is one of the first things as he presents Jesus Christ to the world, as he presents it in his gospel. One of the first things he wants the readers of his gospel to understand is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. He uses one of the greatest prophets the world has ever known, John the Baptist's testimony, to draw the very nations, in fact, the whole world's attention to the fact that Jesus came to save. This is the testimony we find of John the Baptist, a great prophet of Israel, a hero of the people during Jesus' day. John says this in verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who," what? "Takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Savior of the world. What does he save them from? What is the first thing that John wants the people to know that Jesus saves, but specifically from sin? The Bible makes it very clear that sin leads to death. It's the story of the Bible that you want to find out why we have all these problems, why everything around us is falling apart. It's because sin entered the world and began to corrupt and destroy all that God made in beauty and perfection. And from the very first stories in the Bible, we begin to see the effects of sin. And by the last story of the Bible, we see that there isn't one part of God's creation that wasn't corrupted and affected by sin. And Jesus saves. All of creation will be rescued from the curse and the consequences of sin because of the person of Jesus Christ, the very creator who created the world in perfection, his work and resurrection, his work on the cross and the power of the resurrection will redeem and restore that very creation. That's the great hope. That's the great testimony. And so when we cry out as a church, when we say, Hosanna, what we are saying, God, rescue us from sin. Rescue us from the consequences of the curse and all the effects that sin has had on our lives, on our community, on our families, on our marriages, on our health, on our nation. God, Jesus, please rescue us. Help, save us. Jesus said if the church didn't cry out, if his followers didn't cry out, he said the stones themselves would cry out. There's not one part of creation that has not been affected by the curse of sin. And Jesus came to save. Perhaps you know little about the story of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you have limited understanding, but one verse you probably have heard in the Bible is found in the book of John as well, John 3:16. I want you to look at that, and a couple verses following that. As John is trying to get the people who read his good news gospel, this good story about Jesus, he wants them to understand that he is the answer to all the problems that we face as a result of sin. In John 3:16, we find this, one of the most famous verses in all the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus saves. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already." Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he's the answer? "For whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name, that beautiful name, of the Son or the only Son of God." John begins to unfold problem after problem in the ancient society that Jesus came to save. And all throughout the story of Jesus and the Gospel of John, we see Jesus encounter people with problems. And without exception, Jesus saves them. One of the first things we see is that Jesus saves us from our health problems. And you say, what? Well, in this story, the story we looked at in John chapter 12, what did we find? That Lazarus was there. Right? Lazarus, this one who had faced the greatest health problem of all, he died. And there he is, sitting next to Jesus, celebrating at a table. Jesus saves from sickness and death. Many people come to Jesus because of their health problems. And we see that. One of the reasons we see in the story of Jesus that people began to follow Jesus and come to Jesus because they had all these health problems. Maybe that's you or somebody in your family today, and you're feeling the effects and the consequences of the curse, and the way that it's affected you is that there's some sort of physical ailment. And often when somebody goes through something like this, they're like, where do I turn? And they'll go to the doctor and they'll do all these things, but in their heart they cry out to Jesus, help me, or help my child, or help my spouse, or help my neighbor. Jesus, save. We believe that you have the power over sickness and death. And we find that Jesus, yes, he has the power over your health problems. In fact, there's a great story, not only of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, but we find that there's a story of a blind man in John chapter 5. And Jesus heals him. We're not going to look at that story. Jesus heals this man. This man didn't even really understand who Jesus was completely, but Jesus had mercy on him, and he healed him from his blindness. But listen to what Jesus said to the man after his blindness was healed. In John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, "See," pardon the pun, "see, you are well." And he says this, "Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Jesus saves from our health problems. He can raise the dead. But do you know what happened in the story of Lazarus? Lazarus died again. In fact, in the story we heard that the Jews were plotting to kill Lazarus because he had such a powerful testimony concerning the person of Jesus Christ. They said, "We got to kill this guy." Lazarus died again. If all you look to Jesus for is help with your physical needs, something worse is going to happen to you. And even if he heals you, and he has the power to heal, even if he heals you or takes away that physical suffering that you have, if you don't know Jesus as the Savior of your sin, something much greater than cancer will come upon you. And you'll miss why Jesus truly came. Jesus didn't come to rescue us from cancer, although he did that. He rescued from cancer. He healed the blind in order to demonstrate that he had a greater power. And if he could cure cancer, if he could give sight to the blind or make the lame walk again, the conclusion the people came to is when he says he can forgive sin, I believe it. You see, one of the great fears I think of the church and is that people miss Jesus for who he truly is. And maybe you came to him this morning because, and that's what Jesus is using. He's using your physical ailment to bring you to him. But when you get there and you ask him or you come to him in prayer, don't miss the true power. It's not just life for this life that he offers, because you will die again. He can give not just life here, or extend your days or the person you love a few more years or a few more months. He gives eternal life, life that never ends. That's the beauty of it. Don't miss it. Don't go away without receiving eternal life. You can find health and wellness in this life, but if you don't find eternal life, Jesus saves, has the ability to save us from our health problems, but it's something much greater that he offers. Don't miss that. Jesus can save you from your financial problems. And maybe there are people here as well. They lose their job or they're really struggling financially. We were in a missions trip last week in Miami, and there are all these people with these financial problems. And that's the vehicle that brought them to the church, is their financial problems, their hunger. They were poor and hungry, and they came to the church. And they heard about Jesus, and yes, Jesus can rescue us from our financial problems, as demonstrated in the stories of John's gospel. The people came to him hungry, and guess what he did? We're told in John chapter 6 that he fed 5,000, and more people began to flock to him because not only did he have the power to heal the sick, but he had power over all their financial problems, and he could feed their hunger. But what did he say in John chapter 6? He goes, "I offer so much." He says, "I'm the bread of life." And then he warned the people. He said, "Don't work for food that perishes. I have something greater that I can give," right? He was the very bread of life. He said, "This is the work the Father requires. Believe in the one whom he sent." Maybe you came here today and you have some financial struggles and you're hoping that God can help you with those. But again, we're encouraged by Jesus to lay up treasure in heaven and be willing to sacrifice everything on this earth so that we don't miss out on what Jesus truly offers. Treasure that never spoils or fades. Life eternal. Jesus is the bread of life. We find also that Jesus can save us from our personal problems. And I think about the story very quickly of the woman at the well. Do you remember as John's going through his gospel and explaining to us all about Jesus, John chapter 4, we have a woman who comes to the well, and this woman had problems. This woman's life was a mess. She had all kinds of personal problems. John chapter 4, if you go through the story of the woman at the well, you begin to see her problems quickly add up. The first thing we see is in verse 9 that she faced social problems. She dealt every day with issues like racism and sexism. She had theological problems, you find, in verses 20 to 22 that were keeping her from worshiping the true God of the Bible. And one of the big ones here, she had relationship problems in verse 18, marriage problems. She had been married 5 times, and by the time Jesus catches up with her at this well, she's living with a man who's not her husband. She had all kinds of problems. And so many people come to Jesus and they cry out to Jesus. Maybe that's your heart cry. You're saying, God, I just need somebody who loves me, or just put somebody in my life who's not crazy and divisive and angry. And please, Lord, save me from all these relational problems. I have so many problems. And this woman comes to Jesus and she has all these problems. And Jesus says, you have all these hungers, you have all these thirsts, but I offer something much greater. Drink from the well that I offer, and you'll never be thirsty again. And in the story, Jesus does take care of her relationship problems. He does take care of all, he does accept her and kind of meets the needs of her social problems. But what he gives this woman, the hope that he gives her, is hope of eternal life. In verse 13 of John chapter 4, he says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's talking about the physical water. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We also see in John's gospel, very quickly, I won't go into the story, but again, back to John chapter 6, that Jesus can save from social, political problems. But that's not why Jesus came. That people wanted to make Jesus king at the end of John chapter 6. And he sees this and he kind of hides himself because he says, you know what, I didn't come to be this social justice warrior. And so many times the church gets caught up in these causes. And it's not that certain causes of oppression and all these things are not worthy, but that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to save the political problems or the social problems. That's not where he spent his time. He came to seek and to save the lost. And instead of allowing the people to declare him king, he went to the cross and became a humble servant, gave his life for them. There's one more group of people one more reason people come to Jesus often, and it's found in John chapter 8. Many people come just to have Jesus rescue them from the consequences of their actions. Many people just come to say, Jesus, I've gotten myself into a mess. It's because of my sin. Maybe they've done something, and they cry out to Jesus. And maybe this is you this morning. God, help me. My life's going to fall apart. I'm going to lose my marriage. I'm going to lose my job. All these different things. I'm in big trouble. God, rescue me. And so you cry out to Jesus to save you from yourself. But you see, Jesus didn't come to just save you from the consequences of your sin. He came to save you from your sin. Big difference. To save you from your sin. And we see this in the story of the woman caught in adultery. And remember, God has mercy on him. The people are on her. The people are ready to stone her because of her sin of immorality and adultery. And God rescues her. He has mercy on her. And those who are about to stone her, they walk away. They drop their stones and they say, all right. And after everybody leaves, Jesus says to the woman this, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Then he adds this, and from now on, sin no more. Sin no more. See, Jesus didn't just come to rescue us from hell. He came to rescue us from sin so that we would be holy, live righteous lives. And sometimes people, the only reason they come to Jesus is so that they don't face the just consequences of their sin. And if that's you this morning, God offers, Jesus came to not just, if that's you, he may save you from the temporary consequences of your sin, but you'll pay for the eternal consequences of your sin if you don't know him. Today, I challenge you not to leave hungry. Today, I challenge you not to leave thirsty. you may receive what you came to Jesus for. He may help you with your marriage. He may help you with your finances. He may give you health. He may even remove the consequences of your sin. You might not lose your job. He may be able to keep your marriage together. He may be able to do things like that. But if you don't know Jesus as the Savior of the world, all you're doing is putting off the pain and penalty for sin for another day. There will be a day when we have to face the consequences of sin. Unless we know Jesus as the Savior of our sin, unless we come to him and say, Jesus, save me from my sin. Jesus, rescue me. Give me eternal life. Bring me into relationship. Restore that broken relationship I have with you. Please rescue me, save